Thanks for listening to For Crying Out Loud on Podcast One.
We have a super fun show for you guys today. Greg Fitzsimmons is our guest, and it's not like a normal guest. It's like a really fun guest. But first, there is nothing like enjoying the delicious home-brewed taste of Gold Peak Real Brewed Tea that gives you that comforting feeling of home. And I'll tell you the flavor that I like the best. The raspberry. You guys, I just discovered this raspberry tea, and it comes in unsweetened and sweetened, and both of them are so delicious. I know I've been talking about the lemonade flavor, but I would be remiss if I didn't shout out the raspberry that I tried. It's just so good and so flavorful, and I've been keeping a whole bunch of it in the house. Summer's at the tail end. The kids need something refreshing to drink. I love the option of having unsweetened tea in the house for them. And then I love, you know, for a special treat, the sweet or slightly sweet version. They have a variety of flavors. There are 14 flavors and all different sizes. Gold Peak has something for everyone for every occasion. With ice cold Gold Peak Real Brewed Tea, the comforts of home are never far away. And you can find your favorite Gold Peak flavor at a retailer near you. Gold Peak Real Brewed Tea, the taste that brings you home.
Made a decision. I'll face the sunny side head on.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to For Crying Out Loud.
That's our show.
That's our show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every week. And a couple episodes a week.
That's right. And we have a very special guest today. Very special. In fact, we were just talking about how he popped our cherry mm-hmm. when I started doing the show with Teresa Strasser way back 6 or 7 years ago. We'll figure out how long ago it was.
Oh, so you're saying mm-hmm. that he was your first guest ever.
Ever.
Okay.
Before I had any chops, as Adam would say. Yeah, I didn't do podcasts. Greg, hi. Hi, Greg.
It really was an honor to pop your cherry, and I'll never forget it. It's in my diary.
Aww.
Yeah. No, I'm so happy to be here. I love both you guys. And, you know, and I'm not one of those people that says things like that,
mm-hmm.
but I love your guys' energy. I think you're
Thank
both
you.
Cool people, Aww. And I'm glad that this podcast is going still.
Thank we're you. Really nice people.
Yeah, you are.
Something to know about us, we're not selfish.
No.
People, we think about others.
Yeah.
But
do you think that helps you in the long run or hurts you in Hollywood?
In Hollywood?
I mean.
Well, I'm barely in Hollywood anymore.
Are you kidding me? You are the new Hollywood. Digital. It's all
yeah, that's right.
digital.
That's right.
I mean, as a stand-up comic, the guys that are filling up theaters right now are the ones that are tweeting and Instagramming and putting out short videos
right.
and podcasting.
Right.
That's everything. You're crazy to say you're not Hollywood. Old Hollywood is... everybody's making a quarter of what they used to make.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You're having more people tell you what to do. It's mm-hmm. that's dead.
Right.
That's dead. You got to be looking forward.
Oh,
you're
let's
doing-
get into this. Remember when back in everybody was getting a development deal?
Yeah.
Remember that? Like,
of course.
Carmen Electra had a development deal. I'm sure she was mm-hmm. banging away at her laptop.
David Lee Roth was going to do a sitcom.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody had a development. They were just throwing cash at anybody.
Yep.
And then it all just went away.
Mm-hmm.
D.L. Hughley, remember?
I grabbed a few of those deals in
really?
My day.
I bet you did.
Yeah, I was in the Montreal Comedy Festival in 1996. And I had no manager, no agent. Nobody had ever seen me because I started in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And then Montreal is where all the agents and managers, and not as much now, but back then it was that time where it was
right.
Drew Carey and Roseanne were making billions for the networks. And so they were hungry for comedians that could have their own sitcoms.
Yes.
So they descended mm-hmm. on the Montreal Comedy Festival. And I went up, and because I'd been doing it in Boston for like 7 years – I had, as you'd say, chops.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I was ready.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went
So he
up.
Must have done a show called it was The New Faces
it was
of Comedy.
The New Faces.
And what they would do is they would get people, and it would be a mixture. Some people would be like Greg that would know how to do it. Mm-hmm. But they would literally find some people that had never done more than like a coffee house and throw them in the mix. And most of those people, it didn't work out
It didn't work out.
Well, that's how the cream rises. That's how they, you know,
kneaded
it all.
And I was the cream.
Yes, you were.
And so I went up and I did a couple good sets. And
were you nervous?
I was, but in a good, healthy way.
Okay.
It wasn't debilitating. It was more like I was young and cocky. And so I went up and I did a couple sets. After the second set, I get off. And this is like out of the movies. There was a line of people waiting to give me their call. Warner Brothers, William Morris, NBC, one after Brandon Tartikoff.
Oh, my God. I
had a meeting with Brandon Tartikoff in Montreal, the most beloved network executive.
I worked with him.
Oh, you did?
I have a letter that he wrote me. Well, I don't know if he wrote it, but he signed it.
Consistently the most liked guy. That was the biggest honor. So I left there with the biggest manager, the biggest agency.
Oh, you decided on the spot?
Decided on the spot. Development deal with Fox for my own sitcom. A spot on Letterman.
Wow. From Montreal?
In one weekend. I flew home with all of that.
That's insane.
And then what happened?
And then I came back down. As it all crashed and burned, I came back down.
I just started at ABC. And I remember being jealous that everybody was leaving to go to the Montreal. And I couldn't, I'm not going to go. I'm just like a little measly assistant. But I worked in the programming side. Everybody in comedy was leaving. And I remember being in the elevator and this little like pipsqueak, Caroline Ginsburg.
Yeah.
And she's little and she's talking to her assistant who looks like she's 12. And her assistant's kind of like giving her a dressing down in the elevator. And I'm like, who are these like PAs? Like I didn't think that they were any. I didn't know who she was.
Yeah.
Carolyn was like the head of comedy over at ABC for a while.
Yep.
And I was like, then they got off at the elevator at the same floor I worked on. And I was like, who? It was like my first or second day. And I figured out that she was the head. And I'm like, these people are so young. And then I'm like, they're giving notes to Botchko, like these young idiots. Like, who are they to give?
Yeah, nothing's changed.
You know?
Like, no, it's still
it's still
that.
The young.
Yep. It's so weird.
And they're all attractive. They're all attractive. And you go in for a pitch meeting and it's like you walk in and the office has like white shag carpeting and shabby chic sofas. And the development lady is like a 10 and she's barefoot sitting cross-legged on her couch.
Right.
And there's a gay development executive in a very tight suit with very thin lapels and a fuchsia shirt and his hair is coiffed. And you're pitching to them going like, do you guys – is there anything you have in your life that you need to make comedy about?
I know.
Isn't are you just
weird?
Happy?
It's look. People think that you're exaggerating. There's no hyperbole. I mean, you are correct.
Yeah.
You just described. That's basically all the offices in Hollywood. It's just so weird to me.
Yeah.
So then, tell us what happened. Okay, so you come home. You got all this stuff. You got to deal with Fox, and then what?
I was paired up with a show. When you're a young comic like that, they give you a showrunner who's like daddy. He's going to actually write the script. You're going to give him your life story, and he's going to figure out what the story is within that. And then they basically push you out of the process. You have very little to say about how the script ends up. So my guy just drank himself into rehab. Literally, he didn't hand in scripts. It was like the whole thing fell apart. He used a script template, you know, like this final draft, which is like the universal script template that you can share and you can each make changes in, and it comes up in red. And that's and this guy had like hacked some kind of software where only he could make changes on the script.
Oh, no.
And then he kept drinking and drinking, and then he eventually handed something in, and I was like, this is crazy. It's so bad.
Right.
And that guy.
And were you trying to like call? Were you trying to like send a covert email going, listen, I don't love that script.
I was so out of Hollywood. I didn't even know that wasn't how it was done. Right. I was like, I guess this is how it is. And that guy went on to.
Ben Silverman.
He ended up. He killed his. Killed his wife.
What?
His baby was in a crib. For like 2 days because he had killed the mother and then was walking the streets of – it was in the Midwest. It was in like somewhere in Ohio.
What was his name?
I don't want to say. Oh, he's in prison for life.
Wow. That's insane. Did you find out about that like after the fact? Were you like, oh my God, that was my showrunner?
Oh yeah, it did happen 10 years later, but he was binging that entire time.
What a shame. What a, I mean, you
okay,
know.
So that happens and then is everything done? Like,
well, then the Letterman thing was the high point of my life. I mean, sure. People always go, what's the greatest thing that ever happened to you? I dreamed of Letterman. Everybody did. It was like the holy grail for comedians.
Yeah.
And my father had just died and I was very close to him and he was my biggest supporter.
Aww.
And so I go on and I'm thinking about him before I go on. I'm backstage and I literally looked up and I was like, all right, Dad, you know, here we go. And so Biff Henderson, you know, he pats me on the back. He's like, okay, you're on. And I walk out and I look over and there's Letterman. There's freaking Letterman standing 10 feet away from me. And I go up and that crowd is hot. And so I do my set and I've been practicing the set for weeks. I mean, every night doing 3 shows a night, just banging it out, just tweaking it. And I went on and it was like the set of my life. I was just like applause break after applause break. And I finish and I walk off stage and I think of my dad and I just burst into tears.
Oh my God.
And I'm standing there crying. And then Faith Hill had just gone on ahead of me and she walked over to me and she just gave me this big hug while I cried.
I love her now.
Yeah, it never got any better than that.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
So your dad didn't really know about the fame yet or
no.
Success?
He was there for the for the build up and he always, you know, he would show up to my shows and
they love that.
Yeah, it was a lot of comics talk about how their parents don't want them doing it. I was the opposite. Well, he was also a radio guy.
Oh, he was.
Yeah, he was one of the biggest radio guys in New York my whole life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you know, he understood show business and
what was his name?
Bob Fitzsimmons. WNEW in New York.
That's a radio name if I ever heard it.
And he had the voice. Smoked 3.5 packs a day. He had the voice.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
Deep resonant voice.
So, you after Letterman, then what? Like, by the way, you can listen to Greg Fitzsimmons and your co-host, Allison Rosen, right?
On Childish, podcast that is about raising kids. She's got 2 babies, and I've got 2 teenagers. And so it's me teaching her how to parent, and she's not really buying it.
Really?
Yeah. So it's a lot of like people writing in. Uh-huh. And emailing in and
I
and
love
we,
that.
We deal with stuff. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
And
that's
so you have another podcast too though. You have your regular
Fitzdog Radio.
Yeah. So how many episodes of that are a week?
My 10-year anniversary is next week.
Woo!
Oh.
So and I did 2 a week, so I'm up around 900 episodes.
That's a lot of talking.
Lot of guests.
Oh, a lot of guests.
Yeah.
We don't have guests very often.
Yes.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, our audience does not like guests. They will like you. It's a little different. They like a comedian. Here's what our audience does not like. Well, for some reason, and Lynette and I don't understand this, but they just want to hear us talk about our boring lives.
I really don't.
And when we have a guest and the guest wants to talk about – so you're already – we're just talking
about
life.
You're part of the family.
Yeah. But they don't like it when someone comes on and they're promoting something.
Right.
And then they're just talking about that because our audience is like, we don't care.
They don't care. That's a late night talk show. That's the old school.
Right.
This is the new people listen to podcasts because they want to just hang with people that they like.
Right.
Right.
They want to hang out.
Yeah.
Because nobody hangs out anymore in life. You're commuting or you're on your phone or whatever.
Exactly.
And everybody has an agenda. So they love it when you're just like, there's no agenda. We're not getting to any. We're not getting ready to talk about the murder. We're just talking about, like, you know what I mean? You know, there's no banter before we get to the movie review or the gruesome crime or whatever. It's just, no, it's just us talking, complaining about.
It's like foreplay. Extended foreplay, but you never get there.
But women like that.
We do bong loads, copious amounts of weed before we start, like Joe Rogan does, right?
I've done his show probably like 25 times.
I bet.
And every time I sit down, he hands me a fatty, and I always go, "Don't do it, Greg. Don't do it, Greg." And then I feel this peer pressure. He's that guy that you feel peer pressure from.
Uh-huh.
Not that he would say anything, but you just feel like he's the man.
Yeah.
He's like a manly man. And so so I always take a hit. And then you do a 3-hour podcast. And it's like the whole time you're like, huh? It feels like Training Day. I'm Ethan Hawke at the end of it where I'm coming down going, what? Did I just kill a prostitute? What happened?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I was telling you before we went on the air that I played poker this week with a bunch of old comics. And everybody, they were, a lot of them were high. And yeah. I was like, how, even when I did smoke pot once in a while, I don't know how anybody could possibly keep track of what the, like, I would forget how to play poker. I would be like, what beats what? Like, do I have a pair? I would want to be constantly showing my cards to somebody and going, do I have anything? Right. Should I be in? Mm-hmm. And
I don't know how the people do that.
No, I can't imagine. I couldn't do anything on that.
And aren't you supposed to have like a poker face? Like, I'd be laughing the whole time. Like, right. Are you supposed to like keep a poker face? You just be cracking up. I mean, I don't know. I don't. I wish I could smoke. I wish I could. So many people are like, eat an edible or whatever. I used to smoke pot all the time. I mean, I grew up in the valley. Stephanie and I mean, I smoked weed all the time. But now I can't. Like, it's hard, too hardcore.
I went to a party on Saturday night, and I'm not going to say who it was, but it was a big celebrity.
Seth MacFarlane. Just kidding.
No, but his parties are really famous.
Yeah.
My friend was just telling me about his party.
I know whose party you went to.
All right.
She's not that famous.
No, but the people there were crazy famous.
Sarah Silverman had a party. Oh. It was all the talk of the town.
Well,
Everybody knows that. Everybody knows her party.
Oh. I looked forward to her parties when we got to go. Like on her rooftop at her apartment building. I loved going.
You don't get invited anymore?
Well, she's not with one of my inner circle boyfriends. She used to have these parties for her birthday in November. Her birthday's in November. Yeah. Jimmy's is in November. She would do like these. And I looked forward to, because you never know, like, is Ashton Kutcher going to be there?
It was great. I shouldn't say the names, but like, you know, like crazy, like every Emmy party would kill to have half this guy. And then they had, instead of a bartender, a pod tender or a bud tender. Where they have like every kind of weed and they ask you what kind of a high you would like during the party.
Right.
And then you tell them mellow, creative, horny, whatever. Right. And then they give you that type. And they give you like a glass tube with a joint in it.
And did you get one?
I did.
Oh, you did?
But I just kept it. I didn't smoke. I was, you know, I wasn't going to go to that party and be high.
I know.
You know.
There's no way you want to ruin it.
And so, but it's the most mellow party because everybody's high. Like everybody's in a good mood and kind of
on the rooftop
laughy
in Los Angeles.
Yeah, with this unbelievable view and
weather's nice.
Yeah, but it's amazing how many people smoke it. Like every single person there.
I know.
Is high.
Well, because it's legal now.
Yeah.
Even Oprah, I would guess. I mean, not that she's at her party, but I mean, everybody smokes weed now.
Yeah.
But how do they do
it? I don't.
I don't know. I couldn't go to one of those parties and smoke, take a hit. I would just be in the corner.
Yep.
I'm high on life, you guys.
That's nice. Do you exercise a lot? Is that your replacement for it?
You know, I did, but then I had this period of time recently where I was sick for nothing crazy, but I was like one cold after another. Then I had a lung infection.
I don't know if anybody knows.
Caitlin, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah. And due to that, I just was off the gym for a while. You know when you get used to not working out, all of a sudden working out seems so awful.
I know.
It's just like, what is this? You get put on workout clothes and you go to a place and there's all these annoying people and I got to find a pot. And then, oh my God, I've been doing this for 15. How much longer do I have to do? It feels so foreign, like the first time I ever did it.
Well, it's funny because working out is essentially all we do is avoid pain. You know, you worry about picking up a hot pan. You worry about hurting your back when you bend over to get some, whatever. And then exercise is literally putting yourself in pain for an hour.
Uh-huh. Yeah. How do we even think that's a good idea?
Yeah.
But you know what I don't like is when you don't, because I'm in this right now. Like, I haven't worked out in a while because the kids were home in summer. And I was like, screw it. I'm not working out. But now they're back at school. And my schedule would be drop them off straight to the gym. Otherwise, I'd never go to the gym. But I tried to work out yesterday for a little bit, like just going on just taking a walk around in the neighborhood with Phil. And my head was you get your heart pound so fast, it gets into your ears and your head's like, womp, womp. I'm like out of breath. I need to Google, like, how do you get back into it?
You have to build up your endurance, but then you feel like a loser. Like, I had that too. And I go back to the gym and I always do like 30 minutes on like the pre-core thing with the arms, but then I won't do the
elliptic
arms because I want to play threes on my phone at the same time.
No way, really?
Yeah. I'm multitasking on pre-core machine. I'm like, I'm not going to do the ski pole arms because I got to play a game on my phone.
She's always playing
and listen to a podcast and work out. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like 15 minutes in and I'm like, oh my God, how did I ever do this for 30 minutes? I'm dying over here.
I know.
But then I feel bad, like, I don't want to quit in the middle. And then I start, my head goes, are these people next to me going to be like, she's going to
lose
15 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, what a quitter.
And then I have to do like tell a story in my head, like where I'm like, oh, I have like sprained my ankle and I'm just back to it. Like just
like so as if
that
they're going to ask. Yeah. Hey, where are you going?
Just so that I go like these people. I want these people to think of me as like more like a hero. Wow, she's back. Like she's.
Well, why don't you just wear a cape to the gym? Just like dress up as a superhero.
I should wear a cast so that they're just like, oh my God, don't overdo it. You've been on there for 15 minutes. Take a rest. You know,
have a cast and like a support animal.
And a support animal.
That's running like on the treadmill next to you.
A parrot on her shoulder.
I'm like, excuse me, you're going to have to keep this one clear for my support animal.
For my llama.
Thank you.
The llama's like, why are you getting off already? I'm just getting warmed up. We've only done 15 minutes. I got plenty of water.
Wait, so Greg, you were telling me you go to Venice to work. You say you go to Venice. Well, you live down there.
I live in Venice. My workouts are I go to 24-hour fitness, which is like working out at a prison. You have to wait for there's a line to wait to run on a treadmill.
What?
Because they just sell the memberships are cheap.
So there's
no limit. They don't cap it. They just keep having member drives and more and more people coming. And like you can't ever get like lifting. Nothing gets done.
Right.
So what I do also is I play ice hockey. Mm-hmm. And then I go to the beach and they have these paddle tennis courts. Have you ever seen those?
Yeah.
They're like half the size of a normal tennis court. Mm-hmm. And then you have to play with a smaller paddle. And then we play paddle tennis for like a couple hours, and then you just go, and it's literally on the sand.
That's good.
And then
exercise.
You go dive in the ocean.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then you ride your bike home. I got an outdoor shower and a hot tub. Hit those.
Nice.
And I feel like $1 million.
Well, that's a lot of
exercise, Greg.
That is.
That's
you
too
ever
much.
Get recognized at the gyms or anywhere at the paddle courts? Does anybody go?
I'm not that level of celebrity.
I wouldn't know your voice, I think.
I think it's my voice more. What I get is like every day or every other day I walk down the street and then somebody walks past me and they squint and they lean forward and then they just kind of look in the distance and shake their head and walk past me.
Really?
And that's exactly what I want. That's the level of celebrity I want. Like I was at Kennedy Airport in New York a couple weeks ago. And this guy comes up to me, and he's kind of like this husky, nerdy-looking dude. He's all out of breath, and he's like, there you are, Greg Fitzsimmons. I go, what do you mean, there you are? He goes, I knew you were around here because I was looking for Wi-Fi on my phone, and under personal hotspots, it said Greg Fitzsimmons iPhone.
Wow.
So I knew you were around here. I looked everywhere, and there you are. And I was like,
oh, my God.
Get the hell away from me.
Oh, my God.
And I threw out the phone. I burned it.
Yeah, you got to change that.
Wow, there's no privacy anymore.
I
have to say that the level of what is actually famous now is so crazy, though, because, I mean, a lot of people I don't think these days would have even heard of, like, Adam Carolla.
No.
Like, people would be like, who?
Still don't.
The other day, my daughter, who's 14, was at the mall, and she comes home, and she's like, oh my God. She goes, I can't believe who we saw at the mall today. Who's at the mall? I'm like, who? And she goes, says some name. I'm like,
from YouTube.
TikTok.
Oh my God.
It was a TikTok celebrity from which used to be Musical.ly. Do you even know what this is?
No.
Exactly. So TikTok is like Vine.
What is it?
Was where, but you just mouth the lyrics. You do stuff over music, over like and they have all these different sound bites that you can choose from. And
right.
Then you just do a funny dance or you talk over it or you act it out or whatever.
And you follow certain people.
You know how Vine used to be big? Vine.
Yeah.
And there were like Vine celebrities.
Right.
Okay. It's like that, only it's TikTok. And so, of course, I was like in disbelief that that's an actual celebrity. She goes, Mom, I'm not kidding. She goes, I was with my friend and we went into the store and we were like, oh my God, I think that's him. And then she said, and the way it was confirmed to her was because they went out and there was a group of girls going, that's so-and-so. And then he started getting like surrounded by all these
really?
People. Everybody recognized him. I was like, I'm dead.
I know.
I might as well
wow.
be dead. I was like, once you hit 50, like,
I know.
Who, I'll never know who the people are that are famous anymore.
I agree.
Anybody that I think is famous, my kids would be like, wow, yeah.
There was
that fame.
There was one – a couple years ago, I was like on – I don't know how I got stuck on Vine, but I found this guy who was like – his Vine videos were hilarious. And I don't know Vine, so I don't like – I don't know if you can look and see their followers or whatever. And I'm watching him, and I'm like, oh, my God. And then he has another one and another one. I was like, this guy should be a comedian. And I was like, this guy is – and I was telling one of these guys, and now I can't remember his name. And he's got a, like an NBC show with Whitney Cummings. He's a stand-up comic who's cute, and he's really cute too. That was the fun – I was like, this guy's handsome. He's funny. And
just the fact that you use the word handsome makes us sound old.
I know.
Yeah.
He was a handsome young man.
Yeah, he was an elegant gent.
Find the guy, the comedian that was on Whitney Cummings.
Chris D'Elia?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah,
him.
Chris D'Elia is a monster on Instagram. He will post a picture of himself, and he's got a really good body, so he'll wear just like a pair of shorts.
Yeah.
It will get 400,000 likes.
What? Crazy.
400,000 likes.
Chris
and it's not like any comedy content. He will do funny things. Like he's got a podcast that's really funny.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a big stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll just be a picture. That's it.
Just a picture, right?
Just a picture with a little caption.
It's kind of how it was. I was just like, there's black and white pictures of him. There's him like by his pool. There's him in the shirt. I was like, this guy's handsome. He's talented. There he is up there. Crystal. Yeah.
Oh.
And he's not afraid to be in his underpants and stuff like that.
No, he had to take one down. He showed me when he accidentally put up that his penis was showing. He was like on a floaty thing in a pool.
Ah.
And he realized his penis was showing. And that got like a million hits.
Wow. Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
I might have saw that one, too. But I felt like such an idiot.
Do you post anything on Instagram?
Yeah, sometimes.
Do you put the kids up there?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah,
people love that.
When it's the kids or Phil, I mean, it goes off.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's about it. Or Olga. I love Olga.
I posted a picture from when I went to see Yachtly Crew.
Uh-huh.
You know this band?
You did?
Oh, I heard about them. Yeah.
Went to see Yachtly Crew with Robin. Hi, Robin. Oh, my God. It was so fun. But
when?
I posted a picture of Yachtly Crew, a little video, thinking it was going to, and you know. I don't get that much.
No.
Like, because I'm old. Nobody cares about Boz Scaggs.
No.
You know what I mean?
Aww.
They care about Chris D'Elia.
I love Boz
Scaggs, not so much anymore.
Aww.
Nobody's going to be like, my celebrity sighting is not anyone else's celebrity sighting. So I was really excited to be at Yachtly Crew because, like, hello, soft hits of the 70s and 80s. That's my style.
Yeah.
When did you go see them?
On Friday night.
Really?
How old was the crowd?
Friday night. Oh, my God. It was old people and their parents.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Yeah. So, oh, my God. It was, you know, like when you're in your 20s and everybody's drunk, when you go out to clubs and there's always a drunk girl in the bathroom with, like, you know, no shoes on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was like that, but with older people. There were like these girls. There was a guy. Everybody was standing. They were super into it. But everyone's standing. But, you know, more breaks have to be taken because everyone's in their 50s.
Right.
So there's this guy who looks like a bouncer. He's just like a big, huge guy. And there's a really drunk, blonde, I won't say girl because she was older, woman, but wearing like a – it just reminded me so much of the 80s. She's just jumping and so drunk.
Trying to relive.
And he's kind of like – going almost like a calm down, like kind of pushing her back down. She's like a puppy that's just bouncing up and down. And I was like, where did these kids get their energy?
Yeah.
You know, she's just so drunk. So afterward, I see her in the bathroom.
With her shoes off.
Oh, my God. So drunk. Her hair's just like pasted down on her face. Her makeup's everywhere. I was like, oh, this, I didn't need to see this.
How old is she?
I mean, she had to be my age, like probably in her 50s. Then there's a woman in the bathroom. This is afterwards. So people had been drinking all night. The band went on for a couple of hours and there was an opening band. There's a woman in the bathroom and she's going, Gina! Gina! And, you know, there's a line for the bathroom. Right. We're all in the bathroom and she just keeps going. Mm-hmm. And then she's walking up to each stall and kind of like trying to pound on the stall and, Gina! Gina!
Oh,
and it doesn't stop. And finally, somebody is like, Gina's not here. Yeah. And then I went into the bathroom to pee at this point, and the girl woman comes back in, and she's just, Gina!
God.
And then I came out after it was all over, and I was like, has anybody seen Gina? And then, yeah. But, I mean, people
– meanwhile, a young person would text and find Gina in less than 3 seconds.
Of course. Yeah. That's how the young people – that's how the youngsters do it.
But, oh, my God, was it full of old school drunk
people. I would have loved to see Yachtly crew.
I would have loved to see Gina.
I know.
She was probably in worse shape than this woman was.
Well, don't you think after the one yell for Gina and she doesn't answer in the bathroom, she's probably not in there.
Yeah. Oh, it was classic. It was like 20 times. Like, she just wouldn't leap. But she was that kind of drunk where I don't think she knew where she was.
Right.
Luckily, I mean, I'm hoping everybody Ubers everywhere now.
Yeah, that's the nice thing. That is a nice thing now. Like, I'm would think about, like, my kids going out. I want to ask you about your kids.
Okay.
But first, let's talk about Audible.
Oh, my God. I love Audible.
We almost have to. We almost have to talk about
Audible. We have to. Are you listening to any? What are you listening to, Stephanie?
I am listening to the book that you recommended to me.
Yeah.
Which is, the name is escaping me, about the negotiator.
Never split the difference. Never split the never split. Nah. Yeah, something like that. But it's by Chris Voss. And he's like an ex FBI that he would negotiate with hostage negotiations. That was his thing. And he talks about how to negotiate any deal, whether it's with your kids, talking about, you know, any kind of deal. It's not just like business. And so he would take each like hostage situation, and he'd say, like, you know, New York City 1978, guys in his apartment holding his wife hostage. And
would be interesting if, like, somebody kidnapped your kid and you would negotiate with the kidnapper and your kids. Like, okay, you're not getting a helicopter.
Right.
You're not getting – and eat your peas and no macaroni and cheese until you fin.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, it's really good.
Here's what I love about Audible. If you listen to a podcast, which I do a million of, they end. Sometimes too soon for my taste.
Me
but
too.
When you're listening to an Audible, you get hours. You know what I mean? Like, when you're in the middle of it and it's so good, and then you pause to, you know, I don't know, spend time with your family or whatever, you know, you still have another good, like, 8 hours go.
And I go to sleep to it every night, and I right now highly recommend.
Tell us.
Do you know Eckhart Tolle?
Yeah, of course.
He has a couple of audiobooks, but his voice, he's got this silly little German accent, but the mellowest, most loving tone. And I fall asleep with, like, these nice messages, fall asleep almost instantly.
What are you listening to, Power of Now?
No, I already did. The Power of Now is good because he does it in front of other people. It's like a lecture series.
Uh-huh.
But then there's another one. I can't remember the name, but it really goes into – like how we have two voices in our heads.
Mm-hmm.
We all have two voices because one of you is telling you not to do the things that you're afraid you're going to do.
You know,
don't eat that. Go exercise.
Oh.
There's like two, and it talks about the duality of your voice and what that really means and how your goal is to just have one voice.
So it's like mindfulness, too.
It is like, mindfulness, yeah.
I like that. Well, Audible, you can get the app.
Mm-hmm.
If you get the app, it makes it super simple. Mm. And you pay one fee. And then you can download all the books you want onto Audible.
Yeah, and then eventually if you get enough points, they'll go, like, it's a free book if you want.
You get free credits every month for a free book. I love it. And our listeners can start listening with a 30-day Audible trial and get their first audiobook plus Audible Originals for free. Go to audible.com/FCOL or text FCOL to 500-500. So, Audible trial, 30 days free. Your first audiobook plus two originals for free. Visit audible.com/FCOL or text FCOL to 500-500. Also, Quip. Do you have Quip?
Heard of Quip?
No idea what it is.
Do you do ads for Quip?
No.
Oh, Greg Fitzgerald.
You got to get with Podcast One.
Yeah. What are you doing?
All the good
over
ads
there?
Are.
Come on now. You and Allison got to get with it. Quip is it's a subscription base, but it's a toothbrush that vibrates.
Got a nice pulse action to get your teeth clean.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
and you, tooth cleanliness. Very important.
Yeah.
And it's in a little tube, like it's in a little stand. It doesn't take up. There's no wires everywhere. Mm. It doesn't take up half your sink. And every 30 days, they send you a new head.
No, every 3 months.
Every 3 months.
You don't
months.
Even need it every 30 days. Every
right.
3 months. You know when you get those toothbrushes that pulse and then they run out of juice?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you just keep using them as like a regular toothbrush
right.
because you're too lazy to go to the store and buy another one and they're like
$18. Ends up looking like Motley Crue on your, you know, it's all like just a mess.
Well, no more
not
of that
with
Quip because mm-hmm. they take the guesswork out of like, oh, I need a new toothbrush head. No, they just send you one.
Every 3 months?
For $5 every 3 months.
I've never heard this. On a single charge, yeah.
This is one of those things you realize with the internet and subscriptions, this is like a perfect
yeah.
version. It's like, you know, the razor things or anything that you don't want to bother, you forget to get, and it just shows up.
Right. And also, the Quip, it every 30 seconds, it pulses with a timer so that you know to switch sides
mm-hmm.
so that you actually get your teeth really clean, and it's great for people who have kids because kids need to be reminded
yes.
to switch sides or
yeah.
to keep brushing. Otherwise, they'll be like, they'll do it for 10 seconds and be like, I'm good.
We're done.
So that's why we love Quip, and it starts at just $25. Go to getquip.com/FCOL right now, and you're going to get your first refill pack for free. Free. That's free at getquip, getquip.com/FCOL.
Lights Out with David Spade. Right? On Comedy Central.
Tonight, I think.
Tonight.
Yes.
Tonight. On Tuesday nights on Comedy Central.
So I think it's every night, but I'm on.
Oh, it's on every night.
Yeah, it's a daily show. It just started a couple weeks ago.
Oh, I'm happy for him.
I
and
know.
You. I'm happy for you guys.
I know. I'm doing it with Dave Attell, who's one of my best friends.
Oh, that's
so I'm excited
nice.
To do that.
He's
but
great.
It's like he's, you know, David Spade is like the have you ever hung out with him?
A couple times.
And
he's
so
a sweetie.
Quick and funny.
Yes, he is. And he's very casual.
Yeah.
He doesn't like – no offense, Greg. I don't like stand-up comics. I don't like to go see them, you know. I've always been that way. I don't know. Mm. It just makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
He is just so –
Easy.
Like it just doesn't like there's no forcing.
Right.
There's no like a ton of energy, you know. He's just relaxed,
yep.
tells the stories, and they're hilarious.
Yeah.
Really funny.
Yeah.
Very talented.
He's great. And the show is good. They're booking, you know, he's like got the best Rolodex in Hollywood. So he's calling in all these big names to do the show.
It's great.
And, you know, I think with him, I think it's going to be on for a long time. It could be.
I agree.
You know, I think it'll be the next Chelsea Lately.
Yeah, that's
good. It's
a
panel show.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's a panel show.
Nightly on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
That's great.
Do you think he's going to have Chelsea on his show?
I saw her at the Sarah Silverman party. I hung out with her.
Oh, you did?
Last night or two nights ago.
Uh-huh.
And
did she remember you?
What kind of cut is that? I mean,
I don't even know.
Here I am. I drive here. And I get up at 7 o'clock in the morning to drive from Venice.
I asked him if he got recognized.
You know, people recognize my hotspot, my Wi-Fi hotspot,
Greg,
at JFK.
This is why I only have podcasts now. Because I'm not, I can't be in the scene because that's how all of my jokes will be received. I'll be in front of an audience and they'll all just stop and no one will laugh and they'll be like, really? That's the punchline you're going with. Like, did you work? Did you just make that up on the spot or did you pre-plan that joke?
Do you have writers?
So
I said, and she's like very happy for him and she hopes it goes well. She says she hopes it's her show all over again.
Oh, that's great. I'm happy for him, too.
Yeah.
He deserves it.
Yeah.
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 He's a hardworking dude, and he's very talented.
He is. And, you know, I think Comedy Central needed a host that has no offense to their host now, but it's like some of the choices they make.
Yeah.
It was like I don't want to badmouth anybody,
right.
but like there's so much better talent. And you see Spade and you go, yes,
right.
Those are the guys that should be hosting shows.
Yes, totally. Well, Bill Maher is great.
That's HBO knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the Bill Maher show.
Oh, you know what I want to talk about with you guys?
Because
this is a perfect topic for all three of us. So the Sarah Silverman recently, I only found this out from playing poker the other night. Mm-hmm. So apparently she came under. Okay. So she got fired from a movie recently. Did you hear about this?
What?
I'm sure Adam's talked about this.
Mm-mm.
So, yeah, if you Google Sarah Silverman, Kalen's already nodding. He knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I saw it on Mar was talking about it last week.
So, yeah, that's what I heard. So all the comics at our poker game, all the old comics, we had a discussion about this. So because I think it goes on both sides of like the wokey wokersons, yeah, but also free speech, but also – okay, so Sarah got fired from a movie because they dug up a sketch that she did from the Sarah Silverman show where she was in blackface.
She talks about that.
So she talked about it, I guess, with Mar. I didn't see the episode, but she said, you know, that she feels badly about that sketch, like that she doesn't find that funny now, and she totally gets right. why it was racist. Like, but and then I read an article about it where I totally side with Sarah on this. In the like, she doesn't, you know, she's against yeah. this whole cancel culture, but she's not above saying like. That was wrong, but at the time I didn't think it was wrong because I was
naive.
Well, the whole point of the sketch was calling out racism. Like, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that's mm-hmm. she's had a lot of racist jokes in her act, in my opinion, that I think if I was a person of color, I would have probably found offensive. But in her defense, it was she was coming from I'm this, you know, white liberal chick in a bubble. Trying to make yeah. a joke to expose like how ridiculous
right.
liberal white chicks are, right?
right?
That how
yeah.
clueless, like she, you know,
that's her whole character.
That's her character,
yeah. mm-hmm.
right? But sometimes people, there's two things I think going on, and then I would love to hear what you think. I think number one, it's a very smart and subtle brand of humor, and people oftentimes don't get it. Even if you're on stage going, these are jokes, people get offended. By things, if
yeah.
they don't understand the character, because
yeah.
it's smart. So, like, remember the joke that she did years ago where she goes, you know, I want to get out of jury duty. So, I was going to write, I hate chinks.
Mm-hmm.
Remember? And she goes, and then one of my friends was like, oh my God, Sarah, you can't say that. And she was like, you were right. So, I put, I love chinks. Okay, well, she got in so much trouble for
yeah.
that joke from like the
she
Asian Alliance.
She said
Alliance
it on Letterman
group.
Or something, didn't she?
Yeah, it was
and
on
then
Conan.
Guy something or whatever. She had to make like this big apology. And I remember in those days being like, how can you not understand? Like, that's a joke mm-hmm. making fun of how people are racist without even knowing.
It's like saying Archie Bunker shouldn't have said any of the things he said on that show.
Right.
People that will argue that, though. There are people. There is an argument. If you go Google Archie Bunker,
well,
people will be like, that
argument.
Show is really racist.
Well, there's going to be an argument, I think,
yeah.
about anything right now online, on
well,
social media.
Here's the thing about art, and she's an artist. There's some comedians that are journeymen. There's some that are craftsmen, and there's some that are artists. And she is an artist. She
mm-hmm.
puts herself out there. She's making social commentary. She's doing satire. And she's on the line of what's acceptable. And with that comes blowback. And
right.
that's the price that an artist pays. And every great artist in their lifetime has not achieved the fame or the money that they could have if they'd played it a different way. So I just look at it like, okay, cost of doing business.
Yes.
You know, and hopefully it's not a – Kathy Griffin situation where for but you know even Kathy she's
mm-hmm.
back
right
she's back
right
she's gonna be fine. It was a year
yeah I mean
it was a year or two.
It's Hollywood, so I think you know people have short you know
I think
yeah.
so
memories.
And I think Mel Gibson's back
I
you that, know
I know
I think
to
it's
me,
interesting
that, don't need to be back.
That she her take on it was basically like look I don't stand behind the sketch at all anymore. Like I can absolutely see why even at the time my heart was in the right place, but I can completely see
That's
why it's offensive because to a person of color, because in my mind, I don't actually have to put up with racism because I am a white girl. The
she
whole,
said that same thing, I believe, on Howard when she talked about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, which so I agree. But then she's saying at the same time, like – okay, then hire someone else for your movie, but you're
so
gonna but
fired?
You're hiring somebody who doesn't stick their neck out.
So mm-hmm. she got fired from the movie because
yes.
of it?
Wow, mm-hmm. that sucks.
You know, that
I don't feel like you can go back. I feel like you shouldn't go back to
I agree.
If it's one thing if she tweeted something like really genuinely racist, and now she's going like,
well,
but I don't feel that way anymore.
Mel
but that
Gibson,
wasn't it. She wasn't racist.
There's a difference because like Mel Gibson, you hear there's phone messages of him.
Yeah.
There's the cop saying what he said. So you know that it's comes from his heart. Where Sarah Silverman, I mean, there's a huge, there's all these different.
Yeah, no, I shouldn't have brought him up because that's a different
right.
scenario.
But what I mean is that it's not, you know, if you want to, it's not in her heart, you know.
Yeah.
And I get, you know, but.
Well, it's perception versus intent.
Right.
And with
exactly.
intent, you have to take in the context of what's happening. With perception, it's like, okay, so there's no context to anything?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
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 Right.
So, like I will say, I won't say it on your show, but I will say the N-word
mm-hmm.
because I will say it.
Mm-hmm.
It's different to say it than it is to use it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
If you're looking to hurt somebody by it or
right.
express something that is hateful, then you shouldn't use it. But the fact that I can't use a word and like taking it out of Huck Finn, like that's crazy.
Mm. Yeah.
Because in that book, it wasn't used in a hurtful manner.
Right. The thing is like the studio that fired her, they're just feeding into all the, you know, they're just proving to everybody that like, all right, you know, if you want to find stuff up on whoever, the star of the movie, there's a possible chance that we can fire them. Like, they should just like – really, like, look into it.
Ryan Seacrest will be the only working person
exactly.
in Hollywood pretty soon.
Right.
Well, if you like Sarah Silverman and you like what she does, then I don't see how seeing that sketch would change that because it doesn't change her persona and who she is and what she stands for. She does stand for equality. That's all she does. She's very politically active. She's the most woke person on the internet.
Right.
Of course.
So she was so woke at that time that she was trying to do something that was maybe a little insensitive in the way of like, this is who's delivering it. Maybe she wasn't the right vehicle. And she's saying, I'm looking back.
That's
I don't
ridiculous.
Stand by the sketch. I agree that I shouldn't have been doing that. It was a bad choice, but my heart was in the right place.
Mm.
I thought what I was
yeah.
doing
right.
was standing against racism.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wasn't trying to be racist because it was cool to be racist back then. And now I'm like, whoa, sorry I was racist, but everybody else was.
Mm-hmm.
She's going, I was trying to do something different. I was trying to call it out.
Right.
But I don't know. It's a weird thing because she's on both sides of it.
Yeah, it is a weird thing because – and that's the problem, I think, with the left and the right is I think that liberals often – it is layered and it is you know, trying to express different sides of one topic.
Right.
And then from the right, it's just like there's one – message, this one talking mm-hmm. point, it's a hammer
mm-hmm.
and everybody hits it and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I agree. And that's what gets us into trouble.
Mm.
We won't talk politics.
No.
Yeah.
No, we're just hanging out.
Yeah, we're just hanging out.
Well, I wanted to ask you though about your kids.
Yes.
Because they're teenagers.
My son is going to college next
what?
Week. Yeah, which is actually amazing
wow.
because he was not – the fact that he even got in, he was not a smart kid.
Oh,
low grades, low
really?
Test scores,
oh.
and so we hired one of those.
That makes me happy. Fans. Then,
yeah,
I have hope for.
Well,
my
because
kids.
You, there's things I, you can do. Like we
this
hired
is our
this...
Patreon today, by the way. No, I'm not kidding because I had a IPA meeting. Yeah, we call IEP meetings IPA.
Well, so we hired one of these fancy Hollywood
right.
college placement women. It cost like $150,000,
oh.
but we got him into Yale,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to be on the rowing team.
That's amazing. And so do you have any nice photoshopped pictures of him rowing?
Yes. He's Native American now. We had to tell him.
Oh,
and
great. It's so good to see opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Yes. His Indian name is Him Row Slow.
Phelan's laughing in there. Yeah, that's right.
No, so, he's going to school in Chicago at DePaul.
Oh, I love that.
Great.
That's
yeah.
nice.
Yeah, so.
But he grew up as a Southern California dude, right?
He's going to have a really hard time with the Chicago
yeah.
winter.
Naomi's kid is going to DePaul.
No.
Yeah, you should talk to her. Yeah.
Freshman?
I'm not sure.
Oh, that's amazing.
Her. Yeah, do you know her?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
yes,
yeah.
And I know Bob.
So how old is he?
He's 18.
18.
He went to
yeah.
He went to Europe for the summer for a month with eight buddies.
Oh,
they
wow.
tore it up. Went to like every country and
wow.
And they just had a. But you know what? I was shocked because I was afraid with eight of them it would just turn into like where's the nearest bar?
Yeah.
But they were logging like their steps. They were doing like 15 miles a day
Jeez.
Of walking in every city, and then they would
wow.
drink and they'd stay out all night.
Right.
But they were doing it.
It's 18 year olds. They can do it.
He texts me. He's like, yeah, I went to a rave last night, got home at 7 in the morning. And
wow.
Yeah.
You didn't get nervous or like, oh,
not,
you're
not
a dad.
You're, not at all. Yeah, no, he's a really responsible.
That's good.
He's a good kid.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
And your daughter?
She's going to be a junior in high school this year.
Oh, wow.
God. Yeah. Wow. Why does it go so fast?
It is. Me and my wife were just having coffee this morning, and we were just like, oh my God, this is it. He's going to be gone. I'm so sad. Mm. He's like he's the positive energy at dinner. He's just and he's like so active. He's always things to talk about from his life. But I feel like he's really ready. I feel like he's going to go to college and get so much out of it.
Yeah.
And
that's great. I mean, that's great. But there's always that one kid that you do look forward to. Like, when are they going to get home? When's he going to get home?
Oh, you mean when they're out at night?
I just like there's an energy, I think. Well, there's four of us. So, you know, there's just a positive type of energy that comes with it.
From certain kids.
For certain kids.
Right,
you know, everybody's different.
Yep.
But I do sometimes when he's gone for a couple of days. I'm like, when's he coming back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
I can't imagine.
His sister's going to be heartbroken because they're really close.
They are?
Yeah. She really looks up to him. And she confides stuff in him that she needs to get off her chest. And
really?
Yeah. So that's.
How does he feel about her?
Like, loves her.
Really?
Yeah, loves her. Thinks she's funny.
So they're close.
Yeah, they're really close.
That's so. I love to hear that.
But here's the question. Do we send her to Chicago for a weekend to visit without us?
Yeah.
She's not too young for that, junior in high school?
No, she's not too young for that.
She'll be drinking all weekend.
Yeah, that's okay. She'll be with
him,
though, right?
Is she going to bring a friend?
No, don't bring a friend. I feel like that would be worse.
Yeah, because then we're responsible for the friend.
Yeah. I would send her, and your son sounds like he's responsible.
Yeah.
He's going to keep an eye out for her. It's only a couple days.
Yeah.
What does he think?
Oh, he would love it. Mm-hmm. He'd love it. Yeah.
And she wants to go? Yeah, I would.
Let him get settled. Like, you
let
know,
her
see
earn
how,
it. You know, I think this year it's all about letting her earn things. Mm-hmm. Because she's a little more like out there. You know, we have to control her a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that the car has been something that we held out as a carrot for her. And she's responded. She's doing what she's supposed to do around the house and coming home on time. And, you know, I think it's we've never been about punishment. We've always been about rewards.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
And that seems
to
work
to
better.
Yeah. It's hard, though.
I know.
Well, our kids are younger, but it is hard. Like, you know, the punishments don't really come through very much in our household. Everybody gets away with a lot of stuff. But
my kids are 11. I have 11-year-old twins. Then my daughter's starting high school tomorrow.
Starting high school at 11?
My older one is 14.
Oh, right.
So she's going into freshman. No, my younger two are starting middle school.
Mm.
But they are still, like, they know all their responsibilities around the house, and they still act like it's brand new information.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
When I go, you guys, there are four empty sparkling water cans of water on the coffee table. Plus, Sadie, you have three baggies of slime. Plus, there's a pair of underwear that I don't know whose they are. And there's two socks. Why?
Yeah.
And they'll go.
Yeah, they act
either
like,
they look at me like, well, nobody said that nobody said anything. Like, mm-hmm. But you know you're supposed to bus. You know that's not supposed to be like that, right?
Yeah.
You guys know that. They'll just be that silence. And then they'll go, okay, do you want us to? Yes, I want you to clear. yes, right now.
Yeah.
And then it always ends up like I have to yell for even the smallest things. Mm-hmm. Doesn't happen until I raise my voice.
Yeah.
Do your kids do their own chores and on their own?
My daughter does her own laundry, and he walks the dogs at night.
Oh, that's
and,
good.
I really do wish, if I could say anything to you guys as far as advice, is give them more chores because they will do them once they get into the habit of doing it.
Right.
And then you look back and go, why was I clearing the dishes for them? That's something they could have done. They can do dishes.
Well, so my kids are supposed to fold their laundry.
Mm-hmm.
And Sadie's supposed to clean the bathroom. There's only two bathrooms. She's supposed to clean one of them.
Clean the bathroom, like with a sponge?
Yeah.
Well, I used to do that. No, because we have a housekeeper every other week, okay. But she's supposed to keep it. She's supposed to keep it up. If there's toothpaste places, she's supposed to every few days go over it with a wipe, make sure that the bathroom is straightened up mm-hmm. and nice in case somebody came to our house. I don't want it to look like the bathroom's an outhouse.
Yeah.
Like if somebody comes by, right. I want to, and they say, "Hey, can I use the bathroom?" I don't want to be like, "Oh no, let me get in there first."
Yeah.
So that's her chore, and then Xander's. Takes out the trash every couple days, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And they're supposed to fold their own clothes. So the trash piles up until mm-hmm. there's stuff
the
is
problem.
Like on the floor. The washing machine is right next to the trash can. So there'll be like an empty box of whatever stacking up on the washing machine until I go, "Can you take out the trash?" Mm-hmm. So a lot of times he's not home.
Right.
It's all
what
stacked up, then
do?
I just take it out, right? Also, the laundry, they're supposed to fold it. And they'll be like, "We're out of clothes." So I wash the clothes. I don't trust them to wash it themselves yet. Then I take all the clothes out of the dryer and I put them in a pile on this chair in the living room. And mm-hmm. they're supposed to fold it. Do they ever fold it?
No.
No.
That's the problem.
Now I'm supposed to give them another chore? They're not doing the ones they have.
Because the thing is, but if you don't want to tell them and you resent having to tell them – it's like the time you spend doing that and giving them some kind of reward until they get in the habit and actually do it, that time you'll get that back when they're actually doing it later.
Okay.
Do you do any seminars?
You know what's
yes,
so
childish.
Funny? You know what's so funny is like I remember – I just feel like a hypocrite because I remember when I would be with Gina Kimmel when Jimmy's kids were little. And I would think – not little, but they were like our 10 years old, 11, 12 – and Gina and I would go to the grocery store, we'd go to Costco, whatever. And I'd be like, "Hey, have your kids help carry Kevin, pick up." And then she'd always go, no, just I'll do it. I'll do it. She would do that. And I would just think like, why doesn't I do the same thing?
Mm.
Like,
yeah.
I got it.
Me
don't
too.
Even think. Like,
me
I got
too.
It. I hate that.
Oh, and
though,
then when I get
myself.
In the house, the you kids will that. Be like this. Oh, do you need any help?
After.
Like, well. Right. You heard the car coming in. Mm-hmm. You knew I was at the grocery
yep.
store.
Right.
And then I come in and I got like
my
I'm balancing a watermelon
right.
and the crook mm-hmm. of one arm and I got like a yeah. six pack of waters on top
yeah.
of my head.
It's
and
like you're
like,
in Nairobi.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And they're like, "Can I help you with that?" No, you can't. It's done. It's done.
Yeah. Right. Well, I make my daughter every Monday. She has to put my pill box together, put in the Viagra and the Adderall and
do
the
you really take Adderall?
I do.
You do?
Well, I actually take what's the other one?
Concerta?
Ritalin. I take Ritalin.
Ritalin.
Does it help? I mean,
am I? Do I seem present this morning?
You do.
Am I looking you in the eyes?
Yeah.
That wouldn't be happening.
Okay.
Now I didn't take. I started taking Ritalin when I was probably 40, and I was writing a book and I couldn't get through it and. I went to a doctor and I was sitting there and she like after 10 minutes, she's like, "I can tell you right now, your leg's been bouncing. You changed topics 12 times. You seem out of it. You've got ADHD.
Mm,
and so ooh. She put me on it and she's like, "Here's the test. If you take the Ritalin or the Adderall and it makes you jumpy and crazy, then you don't have it.
Okay.
But if it centers you,
wow.
you've got it." And I took it and I was just like,
Oh, wow.
That's how my husband is.
Really?
Yeah, he takes Adderall.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And I don't notice any difference. I would never
really?
Think he's speedy.
The only downside I find is that there is a crash.
You do.
It's like a 9-hour pill. And then so around like 4 or 5 o'clock, I start to crash. But the key, then I just go to the gym and you work it out and then you're fine.
Oh, good for you.
But if I don't do anything, then I come into the house and I'm a little.
Right. Just do some crack.
Crack cocaine? Can you get a prescription for that?
No, but we can for Matt.
Have a cup of coffee. For crying out loud.
So you can see Greg Fitzsimmons on tonight's David Spade show.
Lights That's right.
out on Comedy yeah. Central.
Yeah, 11:30.
And you can hear him in your ears on podcast Childish with Allison Rose and Greg Fitzsimmons.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and then I got some stand-up dates coming up if you want to see
yeah,
me.
Yeah, where are you going?
God, San Francisco, Dallas, Houston, Vancouver.
You're
going to
be at Yuck Yucks in Vancouver on September 20th and the 21st.
Oh, you've got the dates.
Mm-hmm. I do. And you're going to be at Laughs in Seattle on September 22nd.
Mm, right.
And more dates on your website.
More dates there.
What's your website?
FitzDog.com, FITZ.
And you can, and you're still doing your podcast, FitzDog Radio.
FitzDog Radio. Keeping busy.
That's great.
You know, we are the future. Digital media.
We are the future. That's right. You're right. Yeah. I like the way the show started. He's right. Mm-hmm. We are the future.
Yeah.
Digital.
And you know who I really want to thank before we go?
Eshan
Vajpayee.
I knew it.
Yes. That friend Eshan. Of our show, Eshan.
Yeah? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Eshan Vajpayee.
Mm-hmm.
He's very cool. Special listener of our show.
And
guess what? Guess who else is now a special listener of our show? You know Luis Juarez?
I know Luis.
He's one of the famous men of our podcast page.
Yes, I know.
We have a group called, for crying out loud, Reel It In, the Reel It In page, where people are, they've all become friends in our Facebook group.
It's so amazing.
And Luis is one of the guys we love. He's always helping people out. He recently sent Jacob Crowley a pair of headphones for his son.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, Lewis. Like, these people are doing favors for each other.
It is. It's really nice.
And then also Carol Kahn's, just because she retired and she was like, I want to support you ladies. And so, you know.
She wants to be, one of our favorite listeners.
Whoop, there it is.
What do you call your listeners? Do you have, like, some people call their listeners like the angels or the children or whatever? You need a name.
Angels. Do we call them the Reel It Inners?
Oh, the no-getters.
Yeah, the no-getters.
The no-getters. That's good.
I guess that's what they would be. Yeah, everybody's a no-getter.
Yeah.
In our
Make
community.
Some t-shirts.
I know. Hashtag no-getters.
We do. We have them.
Yeah. So, oh, you do?
Yeah.
If you want to also support our sponsors, you can go to audible.com/FCOL or text FCOL to 500-500. Gold Peak Real Brewed Tea, taste that brings you home, and getquip.com/FCOL. And then Patreon.
Ooh,
this week's Patreon, I'm talking about
a big
meeting that I had.
Uh-oh.
For Sadie.
For IPAs?
Mm-hmm.
We have an IPA meeting coming up, too. In my house.
This one wasn't official, but okay. Well, then we'll hear about your...
It's not yet. It's coming up.
And then we have...
Can I just tell Greg something that I think?
Yeah.
We talk about IPAs, but they're IEPs.
The beer?
No. We call IEP meetings at school, Individual Educational Program for Your Kids. Plan for Your Kids. We call them IPAs just because we're dumb that way.
Yeah.
And I got in trouble from the principal because I talked about Sunny's teacher once.
Really?
Yeah. It was bad. I talked about a meeting and I talked about how she should go and get on her pellets for her hormones because she keeps the classroom at a freezing temperature and she's snappy all the time. And anyway, I got in trouble. And I was apologizing to the principal and I was like, you know, I'm sorry. You know, we talk about
pulling a Sarah Silverman.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I don't stand by what I said. I mean,
but I did
were you
say,
in blackface at the meeting?
Yes, I was. But I did say, I said, you know, I apologize. I won't talk about the whatever. And by the way, just so you know, I know it's IEP, not IPA. Mm-hmm. Like, I just didn't want them. And they all just look at me like, we're not listening all the time. Like, what do you think this is? So.
I love that.
All right. So we also have some shout outs for our people who pay for a business shout out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Our Patreon.
Should get you guys on Patreon?
No, we should try
it. Yeah. Get on Patreon.
Jeremy Bishop is with Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage, and he is going to find you a vetted realtor that's going to actually earn their commission. This is a free service that he is going to provide for you. So call or text him at 520-981-1305. That's Jeremy Bishop. And if you want to, like, spice things up in the bedroom.
Yes.
There's a I don't know if you would call it a salve, but there's a special – let's just say that VelvetSwing.com has some lotions and potions that are going to spice things up. And that is brought to you by Sandra Green.
Okay.
Who likes her name to be said. I originally thought she did not want her name
but
said.
But it's Sandra Green.
Sandra Green. We love Sandra. Sid Wilder has a podcast called Girl Instructed. It's on iTunes. Have you heard of Sid Wilder?
No.
She's a like Insta famous.
Okay.
And she talks about like mental health issues. She's a comedian.
She's great. I subscribe to her. I listen.
Yeah. So Girl Interrupted. And then Sarah Kelsey is with Northwest DNA. They offer paternity and relationship testing. So including a new non-invasive prenatal paternity test. And you can call them at 888-571-2220 or nwdnatesting.com. Brianna, True Mamas, they can send you – this is for people who have just had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
These ladies started this truemamas.com and they send you a box filled with postpartum supplies like pads, cooling spray, nipple cream. And they partner with nonprofits, so some of the sales go towards moms in need, which is really cool. So truemamas.com.
So it's like postnatal care.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
My wife might be getting into that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, really? Wait, your wife is a – what is she?
Hold on. One more. Right. Letty Molina, CBD. She's our CBD
girl.
Oh,
there you go.
Yeah, even with bacon flavor CBD for the dogs. It helps with allergies, arthritis, helps your dogs get a good night of sleep if they need that. Hempworks.com. HEMPWORX.com/L Molina.
Go ahead. Oh, so she's been a stay-at-home mom for like 17 years.
Oh, she
and
has.
Then she re-entered the workforce about a year ago. She's working for a doctor.
Good for her.
But she, while she was raising the kids, she got a degree in patient advocacy.
Wow.
And then she also had a degree in lactation consulting.
That's right.
And then she got a master's in social work. So she's going to go into like post-
That's great.
Natal doula-ing.
Good for her.
Sweet.
She's not a no-getter. I can tell you that right now.
No, she isn't.
No. Go-getter. She's a go-getter. We'll give her our love. Greg Fitzsimmons, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on. It is so good to see you guys.
We were thrilled that you wanted to.
Yeah.
We were just so
fun.
Yes. Tickled pink. Thank you.
You're a parent now.
Don't F it up.